Good morning. It is October 17th, 2020. You are listening to All Out Law. I'm your host, Attorney Kyle Wyatt, Wyatt Law Associates and Freedom Traffic Law, located at 210 West Sunshine, Suite H, Springfield Mo, right across the street from the Bass Pro Shop in the same shopping complex as McAllister's. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, handling all your family law and traffic law needs. We are getting close, folks. Getting all too close for figure out which direction this country is going to go. And I don't know how many of you caught town hall meetings that were held just a couple days ago, or how many of you have been keeping up with the in every election there's always seems to be what they call as an October surprise, and pundits thought that President Trump contracting COVID-19 was the October surprise, but no. It's always so fascinating how these things just kind of pop up, and for once, it's nice to see it happen to the other team. You know, I remember back in 2000. The October surprise was that George W. Bush, as a college student or young man, got into some trouble, DWI or something like that out there. And what was it? Their parents had a place up there in Maine. And you know, he had to explain, you know, what happened and talk about his addiction and yada, yada, yada. And they just thought, well, that'll put Gore over the top there for sure. We can't have presidents who have had prior substance abuse issues. That's just not appropriate. And it was close, wasn't it? I don't know how many people was turned off by that and said I was going to vote for George W. But then when I found out that 20-some-odd years prior to him running, he got into some trouble. And to be honest, when we elect people, it is what they are, people. We were all flawed. We were all sinful. We were all have issues that one cannot be proud of. Although some have far fewer than others. You know, I've been watching these confirmation hearings. And I watch them, I mean, because obviously being an attorney, the Supreme Court justice and who sits on the high court is important because it has lasting impact on our profession, how we handle business, how we handle different issues that pops up. And so the Supreme Court is the highest authority in the land to telling us what is constitutional, what's not constitutional. And so listening this week to Judge Amy Coney Barrett, it's just been absolutely fascinating. And the highlight, I believe, was I think it was on her second day of questioning. So it was her third day in front of the committee, but it was her second day of actually fielding questions. And one of the senators, I don't know if it was Senator Cornyn from Texas, was asking the good judge, what notes are you referring to? You know, when we're asking you, I mean, you gotta understand. There's 22 members on this Judiciary Committee in the Senate that is charged with vetting nominees to the federal bench, and so obviously you got half the room that is probably for you. You got the other half who may not necessarily despise you personally, but just despise you being there. The fact that President Trump has been given the ability to nominate another Supreme Court justice, a lifetime appointment, his third one in less than 4 years, which is absolutely fascinating. Many presidents may not get that many in 8 years, and he's gotten on his very first term in office. And so they don't like the fact I mean, they can't fight the authority that he has. I mean, the Constitution is very clear. We elect presidents to serve 4-year terms. We elect a Senate, right? Every 2 years, a third of the body is up for election or re-election, and they get to serve out their full term. And so there's nothing illegal. There is nothing untowards about this process. It just sucks for the other side. And it would suck for us on the conservative side. We would not like it if a Democrat president and a Democrat-controlled Senate was doing this. But guess what? They would have done it. Trust me. If Hillary Clinton was president and Chuck Schumer was Senate Majority Leader, you can bet your booties that we'd be going through this exact process. The Republicans on the other side would be crying foul and saying how this isn't right. You said that, you know, you shouldn't do this, yada, yada, yada. And they all throw their words back at forth at one another of what things they have said in the past. But nonetheless, it would happen. And so this is just how the process works. And it's not anything to think that one side is doing something shady over the other. This is just politics. But more importantly, this is what is constitutional. And that's how a judge looks at things, or should look at things, is what is the clear meaning? What does the text say in the Constitution regarding this process? And that's what I love about Judge Barrett, is that she is an originalist. All right, she's a strict constructionalist of interpretation of the Constitution, meaning she's not going to insert her own beliefs, her own desires, her own fantasies of way things should be, where they could be, but looks at the plain meaning of the Constitution, of the text. And that is, it's vital. And Justice Scalia had talked about it for years, that it is dangerous when we interpret the Constitution as some kind of living, breathing document that we need to insert today's values into yesterday's values. And so, well, if they were alive today, the founders, the authors of this Constitution and the amendments thereafter would have gone this way. And that's dangerous. It is very dangerous, and Scalia warned against that. And so Trump has got just straight A's across the board in regards to his judicial appointments. Now, obviously, we do not know all the district court judges or even the lower court of appeals judges that have come through. We just do know that over 200 appointments have been made, and one would assume that they've been pretty well in line with what we've been seeing publicly. And so we have Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and she is asked by Senator Cornyn, you know, you've been peppered with questions for 2 days. You have been asked about different cases, whether it's, you know, Roe v. Wade, whether it's Casey, whether it's any number of cases, and many of them far less known to the general public, and asked her, you know, what are you referring to? You know, what are things, tools that are assisting you in answering these questions? And he goes, I notice you have a notepad in front of you. And she goes, yeah. And he goes, well, can you hold that up for the committee? And she holds it up, and it's blank. It's been sitting in front of her for 2 days. She has not taken one single note. She has not wrote anything to prepare herself. She was doing this all from memory. And that is just absolutely fascinating. You imagine coming up for a job interview, and they're going to hit you with a whole plethora of questions regarding that span over 240 years of historical context and precedent and case law and you're just digging into the reservoir of your memory, and being able to talk, and not just give you know, some ideas of what the case, but some specific facts and details regarding each, and even talking about what certain justices may have had in their dissenting opinions, whether she was talking about what the Federalists had wrote regarding their ideas of meaning for the framework of this nation. And it was just absolutely fascinating. And you can tell that she was a scholar. You can tell that she taught for many years, and she was a professor there at Notre Dame Law School, and just a brilliant, brilliant woman. And so the future of the court, we can at least have some feeling of security. And so that was just one aspect of this week, and there has been so much more. But we got to take our first break. You are listening to All Out Law. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call here in the studio at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. All right, welcome back. You are listening to AOL. So, thoughts about Thursdays. Recorded both town halls, and I told my wife this, that the reason why I wanted to see, because my guess was going to be that Trump was going to be attacked by the moderator, whereas Joe Biden was going to be given a fluffy pillow. And I told him to rest his head back, and we're just going to just lobby some questions, and it's, everything's going to be fine, Mr. Vice President. And true to form, it was exactly that. It started off watching President Trump's just 1 hour town hall meeting, and it was hostile from the get-go, from the moment. And it's just so transparent, and the media, the left, do not even attempt to hide it. Savannah Guthrie, who was moderating the event for NBC, you know, when you ask an individual, will you for once, just so we can be clear that there's just no ambiguity about it, can you just try to answer this just precisely as you can? Can you just tell us, can you just denounce white supremacy? And Trump's looking at this lady like, is this really what all you want to talk about? Is this really what the American people are tuning in? You know, they're missing other shows they may want to watch. And this is the burning question that each of them have on their minds, is whether or not their president supports white supremacy. And what's shocking about it, and this is, no kidding aside, this is just absolutely insane. Because there's actually a candidate for president in this election, in this one, guys, who was pals, buddies, with known Klansmen. How many of you remember Senator Robert Byrd? A known Klansman from West Virginia. Unabashed Ku Klux Klan. High Dragon, whatever they call themselves. Buddies even spoke at his funeral, praising the man, saying how he was his mentor. All right. So you on the left, call in. Please tell, let me know. How is it that Trump you're concerned about? What policies has he enacted? Now, you had nearly 4 years of him as president, right? What policies, what actions has he done that makes you question whether or not he thinks black people should be back in chains? What? Was it his funding, long-term funding for black only universities? Was that it? Was it that his economic policies gave minorities the lowest unemployment in history? Is that what is kind of just, man, in the back of your brain, I think this guy might be a white supremacist. His developing of opportunity zones for the black community, is that what you're leaning towards? A question. Whereas you got this other idiot on the other side who is absolutely, and it was against, he was against busing for kids. He was for black kids going to white schools. Unabashedly talking about how he always worked with segregationists and friends with Ku Klux Klan members. Really, or call Barack Obama. This is the first black candidate that we had that's clean and articulate. Is this who you're talking about? Or when he talks about, I go to a 7-Eleven, I expect to see someone with an Indian accent. Is that the guy that you just, no concerns about him? No, but Trump, yeah, I got some serious reservations about his loyalties. All right, we got Randall from Northview on the line. Randall, how you doing this morning?
Great, thank you. Hey, I just wanted to mention that people, when I tell them about all this racist stuff and the Democrats, they try to tell me that Republicans and Democrats switched ideologies. And so I have a picture of Biden saying something about turning the suburbs into a jungle in 1977. And I ask him, okay, exactly when did they switch ideologies?
Crickets, right?
And I'll let you crickets.
I get the same thing. Well, we all know that, in 1860 Republicans are not the same Republicans now. They would be called Democrats now. Yeah, okay, sure. That's why Democrats it's their platform, political platform. Their idea is to continue with the plantation of keeping minority groups down by giving them free stuff. Say, here, we're gonna dole you out just enough to eke out a living, but more than enough that you have to be dependent upon us and not be productive. And you will do what we say, otherwise we'll take it away from you. That's control. And in my mind, that's just a subvert form of slavery, where you are controlling another group of people, and expecting. I mean, Democrats expect, they expect your vote. We heard it earlier this year, Vice President Biden, on a radio talk show host who's black, who is asking him, what do you say to other blacks who are questioning whether or not they should vote for you? And he go, questioning to vote for me? Like, that is just the most insane thought. If you're black, you got to vote for me. And he says it. I mean, he tells the truth. If you're questioning whether or not you should vote for me, you ain't black. Did you hear that? And the question that NBC leads off with in Trump's town hall meeting is, well, can you just be clear that you're not? And they do this. All right, look, the media is not dumb. The left is not dumb. These people are smart. And you make a huge error if you think otherwise. I mean, these folks are sharp. And the reason why the question is asked and continues to be asked, hell, it was asked by Chris Wallace 2 weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was, is to plant the seed in some unsuspecting mind that, well, they wouldn't be asking this question if there wasn't some evidence that he was. That's all it is. It's planting a seed of doubt, planting a seed of suspicion in unsuspecting minds. Because why else on a nationally syndicated show, right, broadcasted across the country and the world, why would this news reporter ask if he could just be clear once and for all if he denounces white supremacy? They do it for a reason, folks. And I don't think the American people at large are fooled by it. And that's what frustrates the left, because as I just stated, that we should not minimize or doubt the intelligence from the left. They doubt the intelligence of you, of the rest of us common folks. They doubt the intelligence in our ability to see through BS And so that's why they continue on with the conduct that they're going with. You know, this is constantly barraging. And so if you watch the two debates, you see a total different feel, didn't you? It was high intensity on NBC. High intensity. You know, just bop, 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 bop. And then you turn to ABC, and it was like we were watching a PBS show. This George Stephanopoulos is leaning back in his chair with his note and on his lap, legs crossed, and Mr. Vice President, you know, just real calm, and no hard hitting questions, right? Nothing about his son, nothing about the Washington or New York Post article that just exploded across this country. Nothing, and not surprising. But just laid back, just maybe a Charlie Rose interview, you know, just all monotone voices and just hushed tones, like we're at a library or having a sip of tea. Totally different feelings from the two debates or town hall meetings, and it's on purpose, and it is, and they're just hedging their votes that somehow they're going to convince you. The normal American that there's a reason that Joe is going to be the steady hand that leads his ship, and we got to get away from that white supremacist Donald J. Trump. We at the bottom of the hour. If you got any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. Back. You are listening to AOL. Where we try to give just straight answers, no spin, and, well, hell, just try not to lie. You know, I was sitting there listening to Joe Biden's just very lackluster, just so boring type of town hall. It was so, you know, he's a senator by nature, and, hell, he keeps running for reelection as a senator in his campaigns. I don't know if you see those videos. Or he forgets what he's running for. But he's a senator. He's a politician. And they're used to just being blowhards and airbags and just go on and on and on. And finally, he was talking to a young black college student up there in the balcony. And God, he just was going on. Even George had a stepping. All right. Did you get your answer? You know, we need to move on because it was just filibustering the whole time. And but he says a lot of what they call is a word salad. He just throws a lot of things out there, but very, very few meanings and very few facts. And not once does George just question him on it. I mean, again, compare and contrast Guthrie's interactions with President. Constantly questioning him. Well, is that true? Well, yeah, the CDC said that the masks, you know, are ineffective, but that's not what they really meant. You know, just kept going. George, nothing. Next question, please. For those of you who are too young to know, George Stephanopoulos used to be on in the Clinton administration, media side. And he was like the sexy little man that Bill Clinton had in 93. And the media just fawned all over him and then gave him a job at ABC, and then the rest is history. So he's a political hack. I mean, he worked for a campaign for Bill Clinton in 92, worked on his administration. So totally the bias across the board there. Good luck trying to find a mainstream media anchor or whatnot that has Republican ties. You're not going to find it. They're persona non grata. I mean, you're not allowed. Much like if you were a conservative professor at a university, get that out of here. You don't belong here. Your notions of right and wrong are just totally not in line with what we people of academia believe. And so that's another thing. When you listen to these polls or you listen to anything, you see, God, Trump is losing big time. But how many of you, to be honest, how many of you would like to have a Trump bumper sticker on your car, or a flag in your yard, or a sign, but you live in a neighborhood, or you work in town, and you're worried that if you have that, if you display a support for Trump, that your property is going to get vandalized, or worse. How many of you? I mean, how sad is that? That the left has caused such a friction that if you dare, I mean, how many videos have you seen of young people wearing like a MAGA hat at a mall, and they get attacked, physically attacked by other people? Don't tell me that intimidation is coming from the right. I don't know anyone who is getting attacked from being a Biden supporter. And again, there's no such thing as a Biden supporter. I don't ever see anyone who lifts up the notions that Biden is some great candidate. It's all anti-Trump. So let's clear that up. I mean, there may be a handful of folks who are just hot for Biden, but that's it. It's all any guy but Trump. That's what it really is. And so when you see this fear that's real, that's tangible, that if you show support, your place of business, your home, your vehicle, your property is going to be vandalized or worse, because those on the left are just out of their minds. They really do have Trump derangement. They feel like they're doing a civic duty, though. They feel like they have been, their minds have been poisoned so much by the left and the media, that they think that they're new revolutionaries, right? They're the new Minutemen of the 1700s, and it can't be farther from the truth. But that happens because we have a media that used to have the responsibility to be the check against politicians, right? The check against the powers, to do these hard-hitting exposés, to get into the truth. To find out corruption, to weed through the BS that politicians give, and give the listeners, the viewers, the readers, just the facts. And those days are behind us, folks. They're gone. They probably will never return, because now we have a media that wants to censor information from you. You know, when the New York Post came out, which they had verified. I mean, they sat on this report for 2 weeks to verify what they received, and so they put their reputation behind it, and then Facebook and Twitter shuts them down. Absolutely shuts them down. In fact, many politicians or people in politics who have high followers, you know, of Twitter or Facebook, their own accounts got temporarily shut down. Kayleigh McEnally, the press secretary's Twitter account got shut down because she shared the Washington or New York Post article. And so you have those who control the media controlling the information, absolutely censoring what we can know about. You know, I don't know if you listened to Nick's show this week, where he had the author on, I believe it was Thursday, talking about this. Just, this is a new type of book burning that we have, right? It's a form of modern day book burning, where these news outlets just do not care about the truth, and want to frame the narrative in the light that best suits their purposes. And so if things were even Stevens for Thursday night at these town halls, and when Biden makes just outlandish claims, it should be the role of the moderator to call him out on it. But George didn't. You know, Biden keeps going on with this, you know, and the president suggests we inject bleach into our veins. No person of any reason or sense ever took anything like that to heart or even believed it. All right, but yet Biden keeps going on with it. Biden makes a claim that these boilermakers right? I got the endorsement of these bowler makers unions. All right. Then we learned the next day that they never did that. I mean, here's this quote. The Boilermakers overwhelmingly endorse me, okay? So the Boilermakers Union has endorsed me because I sat down with them, went into great detail with leadership exactly what I would do, number one. And then the next day, the International Boilermaker Union said, well, no, we have not endorsed you. And in fact, our local 154 endorsed President Trump in September. These politicians can say whatever. Kamala Harris, we talked about that last week, you know, making this false claim that somehow Abe Lincoln did the right thing and withheld his nomination because it was an election year. No. So these folks have a lot of opinions, and they try to create a lot of facts that are just not even true. But those that we supposed to lean on, the media, right, this vanguard of protection that we the people are to have regarding information, have betrayed us, have left us, have joined sides with a political party, and in fact they recruit from that political party to come and work for them, be their new face for TV, and that's how you develop and begin a totalitarian system. And I'm not saying that to, you know, oh, shocking. No, this is exactly what the left wants. You know, Putin is able to stay in power because what? He controls the media, doesn't he, in Russia? That if you say something negative about him, you may end up dead. I mean, that's what totalitarian organization regimes do. Isn't it? You control the flow of information. And anything that goes outside the bounds of that, of what you feel is appropriate, you get rid of. So much like this Hunter Biden emails from a computer that was left at a repair shop in Delaware, the media tries to shut it down. Or if not shut it down, try to attack the source of the information. Where they send their goons down there and see what dirt can we dig up on this repair shop guy? What can we do to try to discredit him? Not discredit the information. Not discredit whether or not this computer is legit. Not discredit whether the emails found on said computer is legit. No, not concerned about that. We need to attack the source. And if we do that and we keep doing that, then maybe the rest of you folks will get the picture. Don't come at us. Because we will bury you. We will bury you if you dare try to stand up to us. And again, this guy wasn't trying to stand up for anything. You know, he was told by sort, you know, friends, whoever, hey, this computer probably needs to go to the FBI. So he sends it to the FBI, but smartly made a copy of the hard drive. Right? Just in case, because we've seen how the FBI works, don't we? Haven't we? We have seen that there are some in higher management, right, at the FBI, who it's not beyond them to, oh, I don't know, spy on American citizens or make false and misleading statements to the FISA court or do a phony investigation but try to make it look legit. And spend millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money to go on with a charade. Or find clear and convincing evidence against a politician, i.e. Hillary Clinton, of what she did with a private server in her house. She wipes everything clean, right? Destroys evidence. And they go, oh, nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see here. You and I ever did anything like that? We'd be behind bars. No questions. We got to take our last break of the hour. You got any last-minute questions or comments, feel free to call or text at 447-5743. That's 447-5743. All right, welcome back. You are listening to AOL. You know, one last thing on Thursday night's just charade of a town hall is later reported that two of the questioners, and again, they didn't have that many because Biden would take, you know, 5-10 minutes to answer one question, that two of the selected, you know, that ABC selected out of the audience, you know, these are real voters, Mr. Vice President. And you know, just average Joes here on the street. And just want to just find out from the candidate what you think. And we find out that two of the questioners are, one was an ex-Obama speechwriter. You can't make this stuff up, can you? I mean, they try to hide the things. But so one of the questioners was Nathan Osborne, who worked for the Office of Public Affairs at the Commerce Department under the Obama-Biden administration. And they listed Osborne as his profession was just in communications on a graphic, and his home city was listed as Philadelphia. Didn't say, hey, he used to work with you, Joe. And then another question, this lady identified as a physical therapist from State College, Pennsylvania, but she's a wife of Ezra Naines, who in 2018 ran for Pennsylvania State Senate Republican Majority Leader Jack Coleman. Naines is currently an at-large member of the Center County Democratic Committee. Right? And so they get these people that they try to make you think that are just, you know, just average Joes that, like you, has questions. I mean, imagine if you were selected. What type of questions would you want to know? You know, I sincerely would like to know, Joe, do you plan on packing the courts? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. It really doesn't matter what their answers is. Or error. It doesn't. It doesn't matter what their answers are because we know just from history what politicians do once they get in. They tell us one thing, to be sure, but then when they get in, they'll do something entirely different. We heard from Obama, remember? That he was speaking to a group of, I think, students, and they were asking about, you know, immigration and what can you do to, you know, legalize these folks that are coming here illegally. And you know, he's recorded, video recording of him, you know, saying, well, you know, I'm just the president of the United States. You know, I don't have that power. You know, I just can't make it happen. It's not constitutional. And then when Congress is unable to come up with legislation, he just does it. He just makes an executive order. Creating DACA. Just on his own. Stroke of a pen. Where he said, not long before that, that it's unconstitutional, that he couldn't do it. Didn't have the authority. So regardless what answer Joe Biden would have given, you know, he could just say, no, I would never do that. Oh, come on. He gets in. What do these politicians do? They do it and then ask for forgiveness. Or come up with some other reason. You know, some excuse. You know, that's why I think a lot just dislike and despise President Trump so much. Is because he is the first candidate to actually go on a campaign trail, make a series of pledges and promises, and actually lives up to it. Actually lives up to it. He talks about moving the embassy of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, where many, many presidential candidates and former presidents have made the same promise, but never did it. He's done it. He promised to make the economy better. And he did before COVID. And again, you cannot punish the man for shutting down the government and all this other stuff for a virus that we did not create. And you look around the world and see the problems that Germany's having, France is having, England's having. It's still ongoing and not getting any better by any looks of it. But yet our economy is much farther along than all them because of the work that he did the 3 years prior. It's important. He talked about protecting our borders. He's built 400 miles of wall between us and Mexico. And have you been seeing large caravans of folks coming even before COVID? He's put a stop to it. This guy is just a citizen of the United States who has made all his money from his own work, not from making deals with other foreign companies, right? Not benefiting from his office like others. He is self-made. And so he sees a problem and he goes, hey, I want to fix it. You may not agree with the manner of which he does it. You may not appreciate words or things that he says or posts. But the results is what matters to most people. And that's why I believe that going back, that the left and the media are very intelligent, very smart. They know what they're doing. But yet, they absolutely time and time again, underestimate the American people, underestimate the American voter who goes out and votes in a way that they did not see coming. Like, how could you vote for Trump over Clinton? We have blasted him for months now. We have released shocking audio of him. We have brought out porn stars to talk out against him. We have done all these things, and yet you still voted for him? How did you do that? Well, because your candidate on the left sucked. She was awful. No redeeming qualities whatsoever. And so now you parade in front of us a geriatric guy who is obviously clearly on the downward side of his mental acuity. And you're wanting to say, this is the one who will lead us to the promised land. This is the one who will take us to higher heights. And I just don't see the American people, the American voter at large, buying into that. And I think that they realize and saw the successes that this country had, saw the values of America First, saw the values of manufacturing jobs and the fossil fuel industry growing, and the way the economy and paychecks growing. They saw all that, and they want more of that, not more of the same from the past. And you cannot, not one of you on the left can tell me that 47 years in public office is not just reverting back to the politics of the past. Nowhere near going forward into the future. And so that's what we have. And that's what we have to decide and work on these next few weeks. So get your neighbors, get your family members on board. Tell them about November 3rd. Make sure they're registered to vote. And get out on that Tuesday and make your voice heard on what is important. Where do you want to see this country go? Do you like the politics of the past? Or do you want to have something, a future for your kids? That is what is before us. But I appreciate each and every one of you. We'll have to take a break next week. We'll play the best of, and then we'll be right back over on the show at 9 a.m. on Saturday to get ready for the election. Until then, stay tuned.